Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to PGN, where we do it more than we talk about it. Hello, my name is Carmen, and I'll be your host for tonight. Today is October 22, 2022, and I do apologize for last week. I was having some issues with getting on. Blog Talk was acting up, and it was not letting me get on. So let me play a song, and I'll be right back. Well, welcome, welcome to PGN. I hope you had a great week. I know I did. And we've been having some issues with Blog Talk. It's been doing some crazy stuff. I don't understand it. I have to constantly be refreshing it.
because it reverses everything, and even the people that are on, I'm not sure what's going on with this. It's starting to give me the same, different issues this week, but we'll continue going on. Let me see if give me one moment here. All right. There we go. All right. Well, I wanted to talk to you about something that the Lord was showing me. I was looking at social media, and I saw how the Jews were celebrating, the Levites and the priests were celebrating and worshiped in preparations for the third temple. And I found it really interesting that the next day, the Lord gives me something similar to that. And it's basically what we're living right now. The Jews are celebrating. And there was a time when there was a second temple that the Jews were doing the same exact thing. They were rebuilding. And so the things that we read in Ezra 3 are the same things that are happening now. And I found it really interesting. So I'll let me read it to you. I might not read the whole thing. Ezra 3, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Doesn't that sound like what they're doing now? Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, I'm sorry, these names are, and his fellow priest and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel, to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening sacrifices. So here they're building on a foundation. Well, right now they don't have a place because that place is taken up by the Muslims, and it's the temple, that dome that's covered in gold, where the Jews can go walk in, but they're not even allowed to pray in that area. They will be removed quickly. It's an offense to them. So they are preparing, just as in Ezra 3. Despite the fear of the people around them, that's how the Jews are right now. They know there's things happening there, but they're building the altar. And it says in verse 4, then in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the festival of tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. Well, They don't have those burnt offerings just yet, because in order for them to do sacrifices, they believe, and according to how the law of Moses presented them, they had to be clean first. And that's why it was so important that the other day when we heard about the five heifers, that was very important in order for the priest to be clean. They burned the heifers in a sacrifice, and with those ashes, they throw that in the waters that they're supposed to bathe in and sanctify themselves, clean themselves. So here, verse 5, after that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all the appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as free will offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. Isn't that the same thing that we're seeing right now? But they know where it's supposed to go, but they are not doing anything in that area. But they're having their sacrifices, their preparations are being prepared so that when they're ready in one day, they can begin. So everything is in order except for they need the process for the five heifers so they can sacrifice those cows. There's a process for those heifers and how old they have to be and, you know, what all that is about. Everything has a process, a procedure that they go through following the laws of Moses. Okay, verse 7, rebuilding the temple. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. So in those days, they found out because of the sin of the Jews, right? They strayed away from God, and so their enemies overtook them. And so the king that was in place was Cyrus, king of Persia. But the interesting part was that all the temple things that they used in the temple, in the outer courts, remember that way back I gave a study about the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies and what each thing represented. Well, all those things, you know, the basin, the menorah, all that was taken by the king, those that were in power. And so King Cyrus, someone found a letter mentioning his name, and he found it really incredible that God would mention his name before he even knew about all of this. And so because of that, he honored the Jews, and he gave them back what was theirs to rebuild. So this sounds a lot like Nehemiah, that God had them rebuild and gave them favor with those that were in authority. And so the Jews nowadays, they are rebuilding. Verse 8, in the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Josadok, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem. Isn't that what's happening now? There's people from all over the world that are coming back to Jerusalem, so much that they even built a train going from the airport to the Wailing Wall, to all these places, to make it quick for them to go and worship God. So, and then they began the work. They appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his son, and the son of Hanadad and his sons and brothers, all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. So they're doing that right now. Everybody's supervising. There is an organization in charge of all of this. Verse 10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by King David of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. That's what they were saying. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundations of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid. While many others shouted for joy, no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard from afar, from far away. So here they're finally doing the ceremonial process of laying the foundation for the temple. And people, those that had seen the former temple, they were happy. At the same time, they were crying. So there was mixed emotions. So in this video that I saw, this past week and a half. You see, the Levites and the Konanim, the priests, dancing. And they're dancing around in worship. And it's all around the same festivals of Tabernacle. And so I found it really interesting that God gave me this, and I had seen this the day before. I was really in shock. And so this is just a sign that God is just showing us there's nothing new under the sun. These things have happened. But that was back then for the second temple, and this is for the third temple, which is the last temple that will be built. And some believe that this is not really the temple, that it's the heavenly temple that we have to look at. And some rabbis believe it's the earthly temple, and I believe it's both. Because what's in the natural is what's playing out in the spirit realm. And so yet they don't understand that Jesus was the one that died for them and is the final sacrifice. They don't understand all of that. But the temple, the Holy of Holies, all that is in play, but they are not understanding how God, but they will. And so there's a lot of things playing out. The Euphrates River, there is the structure in the middle of the Euphrates River. It's like a structure made out of cement, and it has different levels. And that marks the different levels of the Euphrates River. Well, in the Word of God, it talks about that river, and when it runs dry, how the enemies of Israel will come in. It'll be easier for them to come in and take over and start a war. And so just like in Ezra, as where we read that there were some people that when they saw them building the temple, they weren't pleased. They weren't pleased with their building of this new temple. Let's see where I can find that. Okay, it's in chapter 4. And it seems like in Nehemiah, if we look at that, when they were building the walls, they had enemies. So in Ezra 4, there was opposition to the rebuilding. They wanted to join, but when they were told no, then they went against them. And they went to the king and saying, you know, they're being rebellious. They're doing things. They're going to come against the king. So the same thing happened in Nehemiah. You will always, anytime you're building something for the Lord, it seems like the enemy will try to come in to stop it. If he can't join you, he can't get you to accept them in, they'll come against you. So they were accused. They accused, there was accusations against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And so because they didn't get their way, they bribed, it says here in verse 4:4. Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So there was opposition. They couldn't stop them from building. They wanted to be part of it, but since they were told no, they wanted to accuse them. Didn't that happen with Daniel? They couldn't stop him, so they accused him. And so you see this everywhere in the Word of God. You will always have, but there is no weapon that is formed against us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. So I want to let you know that as you're building God's house in your home, in your life, you're going to have people that try to stop you. Okay? On another note, I want to say that sometimes people when they, this is on another note with family. Sometimes we're building families, right, and our children, and sometimes our even our children, our grandchildren, they don't like when their lives are being built, and they get rebellious, and they don't understand that sometimes discipline is important, and God has discipline for us too. And so I'll be clear about it. There was a grandchild that was complaining about the way that they were treated, that there shouldn't be any spanking, that there shouldn't be any discipline because they didn't like that. And so I opened up my app and I looked this up and I tried to explain this the best possible and let them know that one day they would be parents too and they would understand what this is all about, all of us, including myself. We all got spankings. And not that I'm advocating for, you know, beating your kids, but you have to discipline them. It says here, the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child, is a modern proverb that means if a parent refuses to discipline an unruly child, that child will grow accustomed to getting his own way. He will become, in the common vernacular, a spoiled brat. The saying comes from Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. The Lord uses discipline to reveal our sins to us. This is also how parents reveal the truth of our need for a Savior to their children. When a child does not feel the consequences of his sin, he will not understand that sin requires punishment. The Lord provides a way to salvation and forgiveness through Jesus, but that means little to those who do not see their sin. So just like this child did not see that they were being sinful, that they were rebelling, and it needed to be made clear to them that discipline is a good thing. It may feel bad at the moment, but later on it does produce good. It produces good fruit in our lives. And so this is the reason why a lot of the things that are happening now, people are coming back to the things of God. But why are they coming back? Because they rebelled. They did their own thing. And life has a way of disciplining. God has ways of disciplining us in life. And so just like this grandchild that does not understand that sometimes discipline is necessary, and if we don't love our children, we won't discipline them. And if God is a God that didn't love us, he wouldn't allow discipline in our lives also, because that reveals our sin. And so I'm not going to be long tonight because I work tomorrow very early, and I'm going to begin doing my shows earlier each week around 7, about 8 o'clock block talk time. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that because it's just a little hard for me to be up late. I'm going to be ministering tonight, and if those that want ministry, you raise your hand, and I'll minister to you. I also have Daniel on the line, so let me get a hold of Daniel first. Good evening, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. How are you?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So you can mute yourself, and if you have any words for those that are online, you can minister to them. All right. My first caller is two. Yes, I can hear you. You can mute yourself, and if you have something to say after I minister, you can jump in. All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Yes, there you go.
This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So, I'm blessed. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll come right back. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for Sarah's life, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for her life, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life, Father God. I see right now I'm just seeing a barrel. And a barrel sometimes is used for wine. And so I see you like pouring in wine in that barrel, like to store it. And so I'm sensing that the Lord is doing something in your life, and he's providing for you. He's giving you that newness of wine, but in large amounts, because I sense that that wine is not only for you, it's to share. And so, but it needs a season. It needs a season. Sometimes when you make wine, it's not ready right away. And so I see that there's a barrel, and like there's like you're storing it, I guess, you know, for a later time to share it. And so I'm not sure what that's all about exactly, but I'm sensing that God is doing something with you with the word. He's pouring it out on you. And there's a process right now. And then that wine in the old days will be made in big batches, right? And then they would put it in wineskins for the purpose of drinking it later on. But, you know, there's a process of allowing it to ferment and all that stuff. And so I'm sensing God doing something in your life with the word. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. You're preparing her. You're preparing her to give out to others. And I thank you, Father God, that that as you prepare her, Father God, let nothing go to waste. Let nothing go to waste in Jesus' name. And Lord, I lift up her daughter. And I pray, Father God, that you touch her mind, her daughter's mind, Father God. That we bind the enemy from bringing things that are causing her to sway. And Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that's breaking all that off of her right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for her life. I thank you, Lord, because she is yours. She belongs to you. I thank you, Lord, preserve her, Father God, keep her. And Lord, we just pray that you put good, godly people around her for her life to be sharpened as she sharpens others also, in Jesus' name. Danny, do you have anything?
Yes, sir. I see a beam of light, a circular beam of light from the Lord just on you. I don't know what you look like. I'm just seeing the beam of light. And then today, did you look up to the sky for some reason? Anyway, the Lord is just, like Carmen says, he's focused on you. You've got things that you're going to be doing for the Lord. But right now I just see a circular beam of light. And then he's telling me that you looked up to the sky today. At least that's what he's saying. And you may have felt it. Amen. That's what I've got.
Give me a minute here because this blog talk is doing strange things. All right. Sarah, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Well, we're both of you. I'm just, just blessed by the word of God, from both of you. And I did look up to the sky. I always do. So that is good. That is always good to hear, for it being confirmation. And as far as the other prophecies, I've been storing stuff as far as willing to share it and gonna share it. And I've been actually, as far as my job, they have offered me extra hours. So it's a lot of good things the Lord is doing. So I'm excited about the prophecies, and it's all confirmation. And everything just lines up with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. We are getting so close, and I mean, it could be some years now, but according to how Prophet Randy's prophesying, there's a lot of things that are going to come to pass soon. And so, like, preppers are good, you know, it's always good, but we need to spiritually prep. And maybe that's what I'm sensing in you, that you're prepping spiritually to offer. Because there's going to be a season later on that, like the five virgins that weren't ready, that if they're not ready, there's not going to be no more sharing. It's each for their own, you know. We're always going to help out. But I think all this mess with prophecy that some are saying, that it's post-trip, pre-trip, mid-trip, and when things don't come out the way they do, I think that many will grow cold and think that, oh, well, this was not God then. This is not of the Lord. And they'll backslide. And that's the danger of all this. And so I feel we have to be ready to give to those around us. We need to minister to other people, bring people to salvation, and start discipling them. And I think that maybe that's what the Lord is doing in you. And we need to, because the harvest is ready. We need to go out there and minister to people and get them before all this crazy things start happening. So how's your daughter?
Well, she's okay. You know, in November the 7th, she'll start with the medical assistant part of it. But right now, she's, you know, to be honest with you, everything that you said is kind of, you know, confirmation. She doesn't meet friends. It's going to be making her sway one way or the other. She needs more of the Christian type friends that, you know, that bring her closer to God and in the fold of Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. And so that's probably what the Lord senses. So, wow. Danny, do you have anything to tell her?
I just think that we'll join you in prayer, you know, covering her. The challenges, obviously, for our young kids are quite intense. But you won't be the only one praying for her. We'll be praying also too. The Lord keeps his hand over her, protect her, and his angels stand guard. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we need to. And we need wisdom to know how to discipline even, you know, our older children. Maybe it's not spankings like when they were little, but there's things that need to be said and done to help them understand that sometimes there's corrections. God corrects us also. So I don't know why I was bringing that, but that's what the Lord had me tonight to bring and to minister. Lord, we just thank you for Sarah and her daughter. Lord, we just pray for that young woman. This is a real tough challenge in these days, because our young people are swayed so easily with things in the world, with their music, with their movies, with the way that they think, the way that they dress, the way that they just address each other. And we ask you, Father God, to just bring a conviction in her heart, to whenever something's out of line, that she would feel it in her spirit, that she would know. And that she would know that it is the Holy Spirit guiding her and bringing correction in her path. Keep her on the right path in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father. And help Sarah, Father God,
for the parents, as for Sarah and the parents that are dealing with teenagers and young children with all the things that are going on, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We ask you, Father, to help them, to give them wisdom, wisdom from above, to know how to speak to their children, to guide them, and to love them. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Sarah, is there anything else?
Well, as far as, you know, with my job, we're getting closer to Christmas, and I'm just praying for strength in my body, just praying for strength so that I can endure the holidays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be. But wisdom, use wisdom in taking care of your body and going to bed at a decent time. Our bodies need that rest.
Yeah.
And eating well. Because we can't give out if we're not, you know, taking care of the body with the food, the water, rest, and time, most importantly, with time with the Lord. And a good balance of all of those helps us to stand strong. And it keeps us alert for when God wants to use us to minister to someone. We are not so tired that we will miss it, you know. And so, but we have to be examples of that so that others will see how it's done also. So that's funny that you should say that, because I've been really tired and I've been going to bed early, taking care of myself, and that's exactly what's happened at work. I got to minister to an employee, one of the employees, and I led her to Christ. And she had been going to church all her life, but she never had said a prayer. She never invited the Lord in her life. It was, you know, just a religious act. I go, can you ever remember a time when you invited God in your life, that you would allow him to be your Lord and your Savior, that you wanted to follow him and that you wanted to live for him? She says, no, she says, my husband has gotten born again several times. And so I had to explain to her, it's not a, you know, the prayer is not what it is. It's truly meaning it from your heart. Truly wanting God to live inside of you. And so nobody ever explained that to her. And she wanted God. She would pray before eating food. But she didn't know who God was. She didn't know, you know. She thought that prayer was something really weird, something strange, you know. I said, girl, it's talking to God. That's what prayer is. That's all you're doing, talking to God. So keep talking to God. And that's what we call prayer. And so I explained some things to her that made sense to her. There's a lot of hurt in this young lady. And I guess that's why God has me there, to minister to her and each time give her a little bit different nuggets, you know, and help her. Because you can't give them all this stuff. You'll cause them to choke. And they might not want it. So, be on the lookout. We have jobs. We have all this and that. But the main thing is to minister to those around us. God has us in different places for a reason. And we have to be careful and wise and to do it in a way where we don't shove it down their throat. We do it in a loving way where we provoke them to jealousy. And they want it. They want the same thing that we have, you see. And so it's time. We got to stop thinking about ourselves because the times are coming. We are seeing the prophecies being fulfilled, and we should be doing this all the time. That's why I played that song, The Commission. Jesus tells us to go and tell them about him. And I can't get tired of saying that, especially now. The things that I see on the news and the social media, the things that are happening in Israel, the things that are happening in our government, it's so real. It's getting so real.
Did you
say, and
go ahead.
Did
you see in Israel that they're looking for their Messiah right now? Either it was on Google News. No, it was on YouTube. And they're looking for their Messiah. One guy said he's talked to him, and it's happening. You know, I don't know why. I mean, they don't believe anyway that the Lord has already came. They're looking for him, and so now they're really putting the string up there.
Well, they know that with the third temple being raised, that the Messiah should be coming back soon. Muslims also believe that too. They have their belief. There's different religions around the world that know there is going to be something like a Messiah, different things that are similar to how the Word of God talks about return. And even in the Indian, with the Indians, they know, they have these different things that that they're waiting for, different things that they're expecting to come, you know, that there's a big moment coming. And so it's not just the believers, but the thing is that they have it wrong. They have their ideas in a wrong way. And they also, the Indians also know about portals. And so I thought that kind of strange that some Indians, remember we were talking about CERN? Well, I believe those are portals that they're opening up. And I think they were looking into some mountain, and the Indians were like really upset about it because they said, you know, there's been weird activity up in those mountains. They're portals. They're portals. But these portals that they're talking about are portals to something not godly. It's in the ground. It's within the mountains. And so we do know by Revelation that it talks about these certain creatures coming out of Euphrates when it's dried up. And once it's dried up, the enemies of Israel who are going to come in, it's going to be easier for them to come and attack by land. And if you look at the news, you can see the Euphrates River going down. It's already there. And it talks about it in, as a matter of fact, let me look for that. Let's see. There's something on the news about the Euphrates River. Euphrates. I saw a video on it, and I saw, you know, that structure that shows up. It says if it dries up, in Scripture it talks about how there's going to be a release of demons. Revelation 16:12, he says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up to prepare the way for the king from, oh, give me a minute here, from the east. So, yeah, it's Revelation 16:12. So there is something about that. There's going to be some activities, and right now we're seeing it dry up. It's being seen by faith. Extreme drought dries up river across the globe, it talks about. So, I mean, these are not things that are made up. These are things that are actually happening. They're happening. You can see the map of the Euphrates River drying up. But Revelation talks about it. And in 2021, August 2021, there was water. And now you look at it, and there's a lot of dry places. And you can see land. You can see land in a lot of those areas. I'm like, wow. Wow. In 1 year, that's a big difference.
So can you imagine in another year what could happen? And so we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful. Although whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We can't stop it from happening, but we need to be prepared. So whatever comes, we know what to do and to do what God's calling us to do. And so, that's wild, isn't it? And we shouldn't be afraid. Yeah. That's another thing that the Lord was showing me. We should not be afraid. When we're in Him, not to fear. He's with us. Go ahead.
You're definitely right. It's not to fear. He's with us. So, I mean, you hear so many people say, you know, make sure you're getting your canned goods. Make sure you're getting your water. Make sure your bank accounts are, I think it's digital wallet. Is it? Make sure you transfer money digital. Make sure you, I mean, it's a lot of make sure, you know, and get ready and make sure everything's in line. And
well,
also,
I'm not sure about that. That's new to me. What is digital wallet?
I don't know. It was a girl. I don't remember her name, but she was saying digital. Just transfer your money into the digital wallet. Is it digital wallet? I don't know. But anyway, she was saying something on YouTube and how the Lord revealed to her as far as, you know, making sure cans are together and the water and the listen to that, you know, you got to make sure everything's in line because we don't have the underground bunkers like everybody else. So
exactly. I mean, but God did it before with other people, even with the Jews when they were in concentration camps, and He protected many of them. And so how much more?
Mm-hmm.
We're His children. And what we have to be concerned about is doing His perfect will, doing what He has called us and sent us to this earth to do, you know, for however long, and not walk in fear and just do, you know, what we're supposed to do. Because ultimately, we're either with Him or He comes on the earth and it'll be better. But with everything good, you know, there's always enemies. There's always enemies. So... that's interesting what you said about the digital wallet. I don't know if anybody knows anything about that understands where it is best to put your money. Or, I mean, I'm not sure if there's any place where you can have anything safe. But that's a question we can ask Prophet Randy because he seems to know a little more than us. Have a better understanding with us. I'm not a financial person. I don't know. I don't understand a lot of that. I wish I did. I need to get into understanding that more. But I do know that when we can't, God can. You know, He makes it possible. So, wow. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard a digital wallet. I've heard of Bitcoin, and I'm not sure if Bitcoins are any good. But more than that, what we need to do is prepare spiritually, because if you're prepared spiritually, God can guide you to do the right thing regardless if you know or don't know. You know what I'm saying? But you can go wrong if you prepare in the natural and not in the spiritual. You can go easily wrong. So, I mean, my best bet is staying focused on God, and He'll show you. How many times haven't we done things that other people have taken years to do, and because it's God, He shows us a certain way, and we don't go through the same consequences that other people do. So focusing on God and seeking Him first, I think, is the most important thing. Yes, all these other things are important, but nothing more important than our relationship with Him. That's number one. So if you know anything else, you know, about that, just let us know. Amen.
Well, when I Googled it as far as digital wallet, It just said it contains digital versions of your credit and digital cards of your credit and debit cards that are stored in wallet apps on your mobile device. So
yeah, but what good is that if there's an attack on the internet and all this other stuff? What good is that? How are we going to get money?
Grid.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, grid goes down, and then what are you going to do? Your phone won't work. So there's got to be something. But most of all, our peace is in God. We can't lose our peace, because once we let that happen, we won't think straight. We won't be able to do without God. We won't be able to do what we need to do. He can make the impossible possible.
That's right.
So my eyes are on Him. My eyes are in Him. And so He'll make things happen. He'll show us what we need to do exactly. So,
I really love the way you just tell everybody, focus on the Lord. Our faith is in Him. And to get ready, but not fear, because Jesus is there. Jesus is near. So.
Yeah, because that, I guess maybe God allowed me to go through so many things so that I would learn not to fear tomorrow and put my eyes on Him, because He always makes things happen. When you least expect it, when you don't have, what good is it for you to focus on the things that you don't have and be afraid? It just makes you more paranoid. But when you focus on Him and hearing His voice, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. He shows you. He shows you exactly. He prepares you ahead of time. And it's so natural when it happens that you have such peace that it doesn't move you. And so I think maybe that's why the Lord allowed me all these years to go through so much, but put my trust in Him regardless, because He knew that I was going to have to tell other people about it and how to go about doing it too. He won't fail you. He will not fail us. He will not fail us. And so I just can't say enough. God is good. He's proving Himself to me over and over again. Even this week, there were some things that were happening, and even unbeknown to me that there were certain things happening, even with my technology, and God came through another way, and it was a surprise to me. And I was like, oh, my God. And if I would have known that this was going to cause me not to have the technology that I needed, I probably might have been thinking, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But God did not allow me to even realize that that was the problem. And He gave a solution without me even knowing. He surprised me through someone else. And I was like, oh, my God. And this just happened today. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. He'll use other people even to bless you. So what good is it to worry when your God has everything covered? If your trust is in Him, He's going to take care of it, even before you even know that you need it. Amen?
Amen. Amen. He'll definitely do it.
Yeah, he'll take care of it. Why bother? What are you going to fix by worrying? You can't change anything with worrying. So you just give it to Him, and Lord, you know everything I need. If I need it, You're going to supply it, and You'll supply it even before I know that I need it. Amen. That's what a good God is. And you can rest. Why torture yourself? So, amen. Amen. You needed to hear that, then not be afraid, because you covered, Sarah. He loves you, Sarah. He's got you covered.
Oh, thank you. He loves you, too. He got us covered.
Amen. 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 So do you have a testimony for us tonight?
Well, I do have a testimony, but the Lord is good. He's going to bless us in every way. So the testimony is that hold on and know that our faith is in Jesus, and he is our winner, and he's going to bless us through and through.
Amen. Amen. All right, girl. Well, you have a blessed week, and I appreciate you calling.
I appreciate you so much.
God bless.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Next caller. Oops, somebody. All right. 870-415, your name and where you're from. 870-415.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's Javonda, Arkansas.
Javonda?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Let me put you on mute and I'll get back to you.
Hello.
Okay. Hello?
Can you
Hello,
hear me?
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
Is this 870-415?
Yes. Well,
okay.
I probably may not be the only one, but that is my number too, but I...
Oops, sorry. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's that Blog Talk is doing some weird stuff. Give me a moment, and it'll put you on mute. Hold on. All right. 870-415. This is Shavonda from Arkansas. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Shavonda. There's no mistakes, Shavonda. There is no mistakes. God knows what he's doing, Shavonda. If you doubt, don't doubt. He has everything under control. There is no mistakes in him. Even things when they look one way and you think it's that way, but no, God knows best. God knows best. God knows best. When we see things going one way, it's not that he doesn't have control of it. He knows what he's doing. Father knows best. He knows what it takes to get you and get the things to you at the right time, at the right place. There is no mistakes. There is no mistakes. Don't doubt. There is no mistakes. And we thank you, Lord, because you have everything under control for Shavonda, Father God, and she will see. She will see that you had it all along, that you were working things out on her behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Danny, do you have anything for her?
Yeah, he sent me to, I'm in Isaiah 6:7. I think he was talking to Isaiah at the time, but, you know, this goes for Shavonda also. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Shavonda, I think that the Lord is focused on you, and you're going to be one of the ones leading the pack to him. Amen. That's what he's showing me.
Amen. All right, Shavonda. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well,
I
mean, that makes sense to me because I'm thinking about a lot of things right now. And it's like I don't want to be focused on these areas, but it's right in my face. And it's like everything that I need to be doing, I'm trying not to get distracted. And no matter how much I try to do what I think is good or whatever it is that I think, oh, well, this will look good or this will, you know, be good at the moment, it just doesn't seem to be working out in my power. So mm-hmm. I'm recording. I'm trying to tell you, what is it? I need to just let God do what he's going to do because I can't let him do nothing. But I should just, be patient.
Yes, that's what I'm sensing, that you're looking at things and you're like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And, but God is saying, yes, it is. You just don't know what I'm doing, but I'm in control. I am in control. Don't fear. I got this. And so you keep trusting him, even though it might not look the way that you think it should be. God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we think, oh, it should be like this and like this and like this. And then things turn around differently and you kind of get upset. And you're like, well, wait a minute, God, aren't you listening to me? I asked you for that. And he had a better plan, a bigger plan, something that was even better for you, that the outcome would be even a bigger blessing for you. So don't put your eyes on what you see. Put your trust and stay and keep your trust in him. Because if you don't, you're going to get upset with God, not understanding that he has a higher plan. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than yours. And it may look one way, and it's going to turn out a different way. So praise him. Say, thank you, Lord, that you didn't give me what I wanted. That you did it a different way, and it's a better, better way. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. And I receive it. I'm just, sometimes I get in my way because I'm used to, I know I'm capable. I'm impatient. Because it's kind of like when you tell your kid no, but eventually you'll give them. I'll be exactly what they ask for at the moment, but then when they wait, it's better. And it's like, he wasn't going to give it to me. Or I thought this
It looks different. Exactly. I'm glad that you said that way, that, with kids, because sometimes they think that they know more. But the parents know more, and they don't understand a lot of times why the parents do things a certain way. But then when they get older and they see, then they realize, oh, mama knew best or daddy knew best. And so we have to understand that God knows best, and he's going to make it work even better for us. All things work out together for our good.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Carmen, can I add something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Prophet Randy was speaking to us something like this. When something difficult comes at us, our human nature is to say, Lord, why? But as he was sharing with us, we should say, well, thank you, Lord. In other words, even if it's something extremely difficult, just say thank you, because he's teaching us something that we have to go through it. And once we're through it, we'll look back and probably laugh at it. But I think that's just part of and our kids are watching this, right? So they're watching to see how we react. Even at work, people will see how you react. Prophet Randy says, I'm the peacemaker. But it's funny when you look at it, things differently. And I only look at it because that's what the Lord's put in my heart. They'll tend to follow you. They'll tend to calm down. And then you tell them, don't be afraid of whatever the obstacle is, as big as it is, you just push through it. So I think it's critical. Like you say, yes, I'm an impatient person myself, so I totally understand what you're saying. But if we take that impatience and just, thank the Lord for what he's about to show us or what we're about to push through, you'd be surprised how many people are looking at how we handle it. And when you don't even have to say anything, but they still watch you lead them through that wall. And then you'll realize oh, wow, I did have a lot of people, following me, whether you knew it or not. So yeah, I just felt like saying that's something, Prophet Randy had touched on this week. So, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amen. That's another way of looking at it, too. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain things, you know, to help others and to be that other people need, you know. And so sometimes we don't like that. We don't understand it. But God takes all those things and he turns it together for good, for his glory. For his glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. A bigger thing with my two kids, because we're still expecting one on the way, with my two older ones, it's like they'll just, you can't even get mad with them because they'll be like, well, I thought you was doing this, Mama. I thought you was doing that. Well, you don't have to be a child. And I'm like, oh, my God. Am I getting lectured? And do I just, I mean, can I just have a picture? But that's just like, it's the same. Somebody's always watching, but more importantly, the ones that are surrounded around you. And sometimes it's like when, you know, sometimes you never, some people will tell you what you want to hear at the time. And the ones that are right there amongst you, they have to give you that clear vision. And even when you may think God may be listening or something else. And I'm like, well, I guess I just might as well just listen to these kids because nobody else is going to just give it to me.
Yeah.
Care
that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it may not be the way you thought. But yet,
yeah.
It was God. It was God doing it, and he's working it out together for your good, for their good. And that's a teaching lesson also, because when your children see that you're humble enough to say, yeah, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, it teaches them to be humble too and to admit when they are wrong, because that is the worst thing to be in a place where you're wrong and you don't want to admit you're wrong. God likes
right.
it when we admit we're wrong and that we need him and that we failed. You're teaching them a bigger, valuable lesson in that. A way bigger lesson. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not easy for parents to admit that. But when you get used to it, it's easier. It gets easier and easier and easier. And it's God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
God bless.
Say that again. I couldn't hear that.
I was saying thank you and God bless you.
God bless you. Do you have a testimony or anything else you wanted to say?
Excuse me.
God bless you.
Everything, it worked together because, you know, when you get busy, you're trying to say, okay, well, God needs to be here because I need to pay this bill, I need to do that. Well, in my waiting season, it seems like it's very long, but I've been, you know, spending more time outside of just what you do every day, come home, maybe help with homework, clean here, do this. But I have more time to actually bond with my kids, taking them in between their games or practices, even though it's a process. Lord knows I never, you know. I never knew it was going to be. You never know what you might get during these traveling or whatever. So, but it's a time to actually, I desire to have more time with them because they are getting older faster. It's too much happening these days. So, like, I'm looking at this promotion in a way. It's just like I'm just waiting on the answer. I'm waiting on the answer, and it's kind of frustrating, but instead of looking at that and focusing on that, I need to just, you know, just be patient. It's coming, and enjoy my time that I have with my family. And
exactly. Because if you don't, then you're going to be where you think you should be, and then you're going to be looking back, oh, I wish I was with my kids and doing this and that. And so God is giving you that time now to do that, and when it's done, he'll give you what you need at the right time. He's never late. He's never early, but he's never late. Trust me, I know that one. He's always on time. And sometimes even when you don't realize that you need something from him, he is there. He'll surprise you. He'll surprise you. Wow.
Sharonda, can I add something? You just made me think of something that touched my heart. So I was a baseball player all my childhood growing up, and my dad was a cement contractor, which was meant being outside the sun, just a hard day's work. But when I was small, I didn't ever think of the fact that, he's probably worked hard all day. I just wanted to make sure that he was home in time to get us to practice, okay, or get us to the game. Years later, as obviously I grew up and, I had my daughter and stuff, I looked back and I thought how selfish I was as a child, because I never imagined how tired my dad may have been, right? But yet, never once did I ever hear him complain. He would, get home, shower, here we go to the game or practice or whatever, right? And I'm sure you'll see that in your kids. Whatever time you give them is the best time spent that you could ever imagine. Right now, it's barely not noticed, but as they get older and they think back, as they start having their children, they'll think, oh my God, with all that mom was doing, she still gave us that time. And that is such a precious gift. Unfortunately, we don't see it until after the fact. But I just wanted to share that because you made me think of that right now when you're saying that you're there for your kids, practice or whatever they're doing. Trust me, they'll cherish that forever. And that's worth more than gold. Amen.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes. It's time consuming, but you don't want them to go through life, even with things you go through. You don't want them to go through life and be like, well, I don't remember this and I don't remember that. Or you can turn it into a good memory and say, well, I remember this and I remember that. But luckily, so I'm just trying to enjoy it. And some days I get frustrated, some days, but I still do it anyway. No matter if I say I'm going to quit. I probably say it 1,000 times. I'm through. I'm not coming back tomorrow, whatever. I still do it just because I see their looks on their faces and they, they appreciate it. So.
Are you there, Savannah?
Okay. Yes, sir. I mean, I was just saying I was appreciating all of it.
I've heard Danny tell me about his parents. His parents are not alive anymore. But those things that he mentioned right now, he's told me before, and many, many other things of the way that his father, they weren't rich, but what he did give them was himself. And that's made a big difference in Danny's life because he's very different from other men. And because of that, he has been a good father. I've seen him the way he is with his daughter and his granddaughters. And he's very loving. I don't see that a lot in other men. And it's because of the way that his father raised him. His father couldn't give him all the comforts of life with money. But yet he had food, he had a roof over his head, and he had a dad that was there present that would go to the game. And so I know that this is true because I've heard many of those stories, and I've seen him in action. And so I know it works, and that's what your children need. They don't need the money. They need you.
Right.
They need you. They need you to follow God. They need you to be present. They need you. You can't pay that with money. You can't buy that with money. So, you could be out there working and getting them the best of everything, but what they need is you. You.
I had a situation with a family member today, and it was like I've been preaching this into them, and I'm like, well, some days I want to just drive off into the sunset and be alone, but I still do what I want to at the time because it's not always about me. And now they're getting older to a place where they just don't, you know, I can't make, you could tell them as parents to be, oh, well, that's your family member, so go over there. I can't make them because that's uncomfortable. That's a stranger. You have to, you know, so I'm like, the people that they have had present, you know, kids, they draw to that. And all I can do is just keep on trying to do what I, you know that I, you know, like you said, a dollar is a dollar. Yeah, they'll be happy for a moment, but with my kids, they may get something in the next 5 minutes, be like, well, where's that toy or where's that object or whatever it is? They'll remember it later on when they don't think about it no more, but they always consistently remember, like, what you're doing as being present.
Mm-hmm. And it is sure a sure thing, because I've seen that in Danny's life. I've seen the opposite with the children that have gotten everything, and the parents have busted their backs trying to give these children different things, and when they grow up, they're very ungrateful.
Right.
And so it's important to be with family to show children the different perspectives of different family members so that they can see. You know, kids many times are visual learners. And so when
right.
they see these things happening to other family members or, you know, even Danny has told me the different things that have happened to him as he grew up with different cousins and how they turned out. And so the same with me. And so we understand that we need to be present, loving. Yeah, sometimes you can't. You have to work. But, you know, it's those moments when you're there with them and spending time with them and even disciplining them. Because if you truly love your children, you're not going to let them do whatever they want. You need to
yeah.
discipline them. And I'm not saying abuse them, but
yeah.
discipline hurts. Discipline hurts. But it produces good because they don't want to do that again. They don't want to go do that again. If it doesn't produce hurt, the discipline, then it's not effective. Something's got to hurt. And when they're little, the only way they understand is by giving them a good one where it's really cushioned.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then as they get older, there's different ways of disciplining. There's different ways of disciplining. They know, they understand with words. And so, wow, we've got off on a different topic here. Obviously, the Lord knew. Amen. Is there anything else you would like to say or a testimony, Shavonda?
No, ma'am, that was pretty much into multiple, that was pretty much my testimony, and it gave me, you know, insight of just still being patient and being grateful and, you know, not just saying, well, I have to do that, you know, how the pressures of life or people may get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't keep keep everything else in hindsight with it in mind, but, you know, just focus on the important part.
Yeah, they grow up so fast, and before you know it, they're on their own. So we have to think fast. It's just like the coming of the Lord. People think they got time, and before you know it, it's upon them. And so the same as with our children. People think they got time, and before you know it, they're graduating, they're doing their own thing, they're getting married, and you're like, what? Where did time go by? And you wanted to do so much. It's time to start doing it. And not thinking about it and being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. All right, girl.
Amen.
Well, you have a wonderful week. Thank you for calling. And God bless you.
God bless y'all and have a good night.
Good night. All right. Let's see. All right. Now it's working. This is really slow. It might be my system. All right. Next caller, 504-282. Your name and where you're from.
Good evening. It's Nicole from Louisiana.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Let me put you on hold. On mute. Hold on. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole from Louisiana, Father God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear dance, dance, dance. Dance for the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord is making you aware. There's some things that even in the things of the church that you need to be aware of and understand. There is, thank you, Lord. There is an order to things. There's an order to things, and the Lord is guiding you. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to worship before him, but also know there is an order to things. And not necessarily in a bad way. This could be in a good way because other people are looking at you. And so you're to set an example, because even though you may think you're young and that's not important, God has a standard. He has a standard for you, and he wants you to maintain that order because there's others watching what you do. And so I'm not sure about all of that, but that's what I'm getting. There is an order because others are watching. So what you might not think is important really is. Your eyes are on you. Eyes are on you, Nicole, and he's using you in worship. And so, amen. That's all I can say. Danny, do you have anything for Nicole?
Yeah, Nicole, he's got me in Psalm 34, and the psalm reads, "The happiness of those who trust in God." This is a psalm when David pretended the madness before Abimelech, who drove him away as he parted. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So in line with what Carmen's saying is that, you know, people do look at you, okay? You know, whether you realize it or not, you are, you know, for the Lord, someone that he wants people to notice. So it's just, I guess, confirmation. What Carmen was saying is that, you know, just be yourself. You know, you've got the Lord with you at all times, and he's proud of what you're doing for him. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And they can be unbelievers too. You know how sometimes we have to be really careful because we can lose people with our testimony. They may not understand everything, and so you need to be, you know, watchful with that, because they're watching and may not understand everything. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Nicole. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because her eyes are on you. Thank you, Lord, because she's aware that others are looking at her, and she wants to glorify you in everything. And so we ask you to continue helping her and giving her discernment, Father God, like never before, to draw those in that don't know you, and for that opportunity to minister to those that don't know you, Father God, even with her testimony, her walk, her talk. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Nicole?
Yes, in Jesus' name, amen. I receive that word, and it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, just lately, it's really just kind of been, God has been pressing in my spirit to just be even more disciplined, and just have more discernment about, you know, things I decided to do. For instance, you know, Halloween is coming up, and, you know, I'm a new mom. Yeah, so I'm a new mom, and you know, last year I let her dress up in an astronaut costume, and, you know, we went to church. You know, this year I've been, like, praying about whether or not God even wants her to dress up.
and just, you know, trying to really allow God to instruct me and guide my footsteps about even, like, detailed decisions like that. Today, I had to tell our grandparents that they couldn't take her to a parade because it was a Halloween parade, and there's, like, a lot of demonic costumes that people wear mm-hmm. at that parade. And so, you know, I don't know, out of nowhere, I think it was the Holy Spirit, I just got this idea. I said, let me check, because I just always just say, oh, yeah, sure, you can take her to the parade. But then I said, you know, let me check and see what parade is going on today. So I checked the street and the route, and sure enough, it was a Halloween parade. So I called them up and I said, are you guys planning to take her to the Halloween parade? And they were like, yeah, yeah, it's for Halloween. And I said, oh, no, you know, I'm sorry, but I really don't want Abby participating in any demonic type Halloween events or activities, you know. And so, you know, I just feel like God is really trying to discipline me and help me to become, you know, just even more, you know, mindful and use a lot more discernment about everything that I do and the decisions that I make, you know, just so that, you know, I reveal his glory to the best of my ability.
Wow, what a testimony, Nicole. That's awesome. What you just said, yes. That's a testimony for other people too. And they don't even realize that other people are watching them. And it's, wow. What you just said makes so much sense of what God was showing me right now. I mean, I'm more shocked than you. It may be normal to you, what you're hearing, but for me, mm-hmm. I'm the middleman here. I'm just giving you what the Lord is saying. And so when I see the connection of what he's saying with what you're saying, that, wow, that's a testimony right there. Wow.
Yes.
For other people to realize, wow, I had totally forgot about Halloween this month. And that's true. That's something that I have talked to some of my grandkids about. I'm like, no, you don't go to movies. You don't do none of that stuff. That releases. Do you not know that they make these movies and they have witches, you know, praying over these?
Yes.
I don't know if you call them prayer, but, you know, doing incantations over these movies. And so when you sit there, you're receiving that stuff that they are releasing on you. No, that can't be possible. Yes, it is possible. And then you're going to end up in a different place. If you want candy, buy something that doesn't even look like Halloween. Hey, I even stay away from devil food sandwich friends because it has the devil on it.
Right.
I'm not going to give the devil.
I'm
not going to give the devil any glory. Yes. And so,
exactly.
You know, the natural, I mean, it may sound stupid to some other people, but, you know, I'm not going to dishonor God in that way. So, I remember my parents used to buy that stuff when I was a kid, and I loved it. But I'm like, why am I going to buy something with a devil on it? It's clearly something wrong there. It's not glorifying God. So, hey, I mean, it may seem innocent, but, you know, it isn't. Halloween isn't innocent. I lived in Germany, and around this time of year, they have a witch. And they have them, you know, in their carnivals with hot chocolate and the, you know, the festival foods that they have. And it's based on this witch.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's crazy because when school starts for the kids, they make this cone shape, and they fill it in with candy, and they say that this witch brings them the candy. And also in the Italian culture for Christmas, they have this witch called La Bufana. And instead of Santa Claus, it's La Bufana that brings in, this witch brings in toys. Can you believe that?
Mm-mm.
And they make it sound so... Yeah, and
innocent.
All the things that we're experiencing, they're targeting children. Because if they can brainwash them at an early age, they won't see nothing wrong with it when they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a mom that believes in God, that is a high calling right there. That is a high calling. because you have to train those children in the way of the Lord. And that's not chump change. That is very important in the eyes of God. You're shaping, you're molding those kids to be tomorrow's adults. And so I applaud you for what you're doing. Good job. Good job. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you. Glory to God. He's helping me.
It can only be that way, right? Because we don't have
yes,
it in
it
us
can
to
only
do it.
Be. We really don't. Like, I pray and ask him for strength for all the little things. Like, God, please help me to be gentle with her. Please help me to be patient. Please help me to strengthen my relationship. Like, if I feel like she's only two, but if I feel like maybe there are some days where our relationship doesn't seem as close as I want it to be, I'll pray and pray about that. Because all it takes is, you know, just one or two or three experiences for the enemy just to plant seeds in your children of rejection. And before you know it, you have a detached relationship with your children that's just gone on into adulthood. And it's hard to minister to your children, and it's hard to witness to your children. You don't have a loving attachment with your children. So, you know, I'm trying to be mindful. Like you said, I'm so happy that you spoke on that on the last call about just being intentional about the little moments. And I think a lot of parents need to hear that. And, you know, I certainly remind myself all the time to try and do that, even when I'm busy and I feel, you know, tired and overwhelmed. You know, those small moments is what really strengthens that bond and that witnessing. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're the hands and feet, and we show them and teach them who Christ is by how we live and how we treat them and the way that we love. And they'll believe based upon what they see in the home. And so if we don't, you know, demonstrate, you know, to the best of our abilities what God's love is, you know, a lot of times it's so much harder later on when they're adults.
Yes, yes. You know, as I'm listening to you talking, I sense that that I want you to say a prayer for all those that are listening, for the mothers and grandmothers, you know, giving that example to their children and their grandchildren. And also you, Danny, I sense that it's you and Nicole. There's an anointing on both of you to pray. So, Nicole, you go first, and then after that, Danny.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings of children that you have given us, Lord. We thank you that they are weapons, Lord. You say in Psalms that they are weapons. Lord, we just thank you for the honor of being able to shepherd these children to be vessels for your glory. We just ask that you continue to prune anything that is in us that's not of you, that doesn't represent your glory, Lord. And we ask that you plant seeds, continue to plant seeds and water the seeds that bear fruit of the Spirit, Lord, of love, patience, kindness, self-control, Lord. Lead us to resources and lead us to people that can help us in ways to grow and bear fruit in these ways, Lord, so that we can demonstrate your love, Lord, perfectly. Your word says perfect love casteth out fear, Lord. We just thank you that your love be perfected in us so we can demonstrate perfect love to the blessings, the children that you have given us, so they can grow up and be bearers of light, Lord. We just thank you that these children will go forth, Lord, and stay on the path, Lord, that we are trying to show them, Lord, the narrow path. And we thank you that they'll go on to be bearers of light, Lord, and evangelize and show others who Christ is and the love of Christ and your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing in our families, Lord. We thank you for families coming together and learning about your ways, Lord, and learning how to love each other, even through our children. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, and we thank you for allowing us to be witnesses of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Excellent. Excellent, my dear. Wow. All right, Danny. See, I wasn't wrong. Go ahead, Danny.
Amen. Father God, I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, as you send us out, Father God, I'm sure that my fellow brothers and sisters have sometimes seen the kids turn to them in different scenarios, restaurants, stores, on the sidewalks, or if they're, you know, games with where their children are playing, Father God, other children will look at us, Father God. Lord, give us that ability to speak to them, Lord, in the proper way, the proper time, no disrespect to parents or anything else, Lord, but let them know what your love means, Father God. And it can be shown without saying a word, simple just expressions of to protect their innocence, Father God. Because your loving kindness is better than life, as one of the Psalms say, Father God. Let us just share with them, Lord, that even in the tough times, Father God, you know, that we lend a helping hand to those that need it, Lord. We guide the kids whenever we can, Father God. We help parents that are struggling, Lord. I think we've all been in situations where a parent that has two or three or four kids with them, Lord, sometimes holding the door for them, Father God. It's a rarity nowadays. Amen. But we just need to remind ourselves that, you know, same as for the elderly, Father God, just those gestures, those simple gestures that seem so simple but have gotten away from us, Father God. Lord, we just need to, you know, just extend that kindness. And the children will stay looking at us, Father God, all in the good sense because they see you in us, Father God. Give us the words, Lord, your words, Father God, and whatever has to take place, Lord, so that they can just sense that, you know, what the word love from you means, Father God. You know, be it whatever it is and whatever situation we face, Father God, let us be the examples of, you know, the famous saying, what would Jesus do? And that's simply how we have to look at everything that we do, Father God. Even, you know, I ran into some today, Lord. They were not children. Obviously younger than I am and 5,700 tattoos and different things in their faces, Lord. But yet when I said good morning, they didn't know how to react, but they did say good morning. I go, so, Lord, it's a simple gesture that guides us and that you help us, you know, put that love into the world, Father God. I just thank you for using us. I thank you for all the people listening here in PGN, Lord, that just continue to give you all the glory and praise, Father God. Use us, Lord. Teach us, Father God. Guide us, Father God. Give us that spirit of discernment, Lord, where we can see hurt when hurt is not visible, Father God. Where we can see hunger when hunger is not visible, Lord. Let our children see us when we help someone, Lord. They'll ask us, why did you do that? Because that's what Jesus would do. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. God is taking this show in a different way. All
yes.
right. Nicole, thank you for that testimony. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, that was it. Thank you. This was so good. This was so good. Just even bigger confirmation for me and just such a blessing. And I feel honored to have been able to pray over everyone and also receive that prayer that Danny just said.
Yes, it's our pleasure. I could sense the anointing on your prayers. And God knows what he's doing, you see?
Yes,
all right,
he
girl.
Knows.
Well, you have a blessed week, and come back next week with more testimonies. And we love hearing
okay,
about
I
children.
The
children. I mean, you know, Jesus said, "Come." He said he told the children to come to him. So that is a favorite spot in God's heart. So, amen, amen. All right,
amen.
Well, God bless
all
you.
All right. God bless all you.
Right.
Talk to you next week. All right.
Bye-bye. That was awesome. All right, next caller, 903-452, your name and where you're from is
This is Michelle.
Oh, there we go.
This is I'm sorry. This is Michelle from Texas.
Hello, Michelle. Give me a minute. Let me mute you, and then I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Michelle from Texas, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hearing dividing the word, dividing the word. I see you dividing the word. It's almost like you have a knife and a fork and you're dividing like the word of God. And you're just breaking up in pieces and making sense of what it means here and here and here and here. And it's like you eating a nice juicy steak where you have this knife and this fork and you're cutting it in pieces where you can digest it. This is what I'm seeing. Amen. And so this is what I see, Michelle, for you, that God is purposely giving you this word for you to digest, and you're taking it in pieces in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father God, what you're doing in her life, what you're showing her, Father God, the meat of the word, Father God. And we thank you for that, Father God, what you're doing in her life and showing her how to break it up so that she can digest it and eat it and so that it can be part of her. And we thank you, Father God, for Michelle, Lord. Continue to do that in her life. Continue to give her more and bless her more as she seeks you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and not only give her the word, but the word to share to others. Father God, there's some people that need the meat now, that they need the meat. They've been on milk for so long, and they need the meat, Father God. And as Michelle digests, breaks up that word, that she'll be able to break it into pieces for others to be able to digest themselves. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Let's see. Michelle. This thing on Blog Talk has done something here. Okay. There we go. All right, Michelle. Hi.
Amen.
How are you?
I received that word.
Amen. What's going on?
Praise God. I received it's just so amazing because my granddaughter told me mm-hmm. not long ago, one time I had get up and speak, and she told me that she just understood so clearly what I was saying, because it's like I know the, she said, I know the word, but really I'm learning. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And she said, you just know the word and how you explain it. I said, it's nobody but God. And I was thinking like, Lord, I'm mixing up my words. I don't know what, you know, was coming out of my mouth, but she got it. So I just received this word tonight. Amen.
Yeah, I saw you with a knife and a fork and cutting up. At first, I didn't see what you were cutting up. It looked like words, like letters, words. And then it came clearer to me that it was the word of God. And so it makes sense. Now, it makes sense that you're digesting God's word. You're cutting it up and digesting it. And you're able to give it to other people in pieces that they can understand. Wow. Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. That's a testimony right there, girl. Mm-hmm. And so how's your week?
It's been kind of rough, but I can't complain, you know, just different attacks. But other than that, I feel like I had a pretty good week.
Good.
I mean,
we're all
going through different things, whatever.
Okay, Danny has something to say.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Michelle,
I'm sorry.
The Lord just showed me here that Michelle is basically a derivative of the Hebrew name Michael, and basically your name means who is like God. So, you know, whether you know it or not, you know, when you, like, you're able to speak to your daughter or, you know, whoever was your relatives listening to you, actually a lot of people listen to you, because when you speak, it's as if God was speaking to them. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, glory.
Yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're an example. You're an example. And so, wow, that's a good word. So, Michelle, keep on. Keep on digesting God's word. Keep on, because other people need to hear that. They don't understand it. They don't always understand. And even the disciples, they didn't understand it. Jesus had to break down the word for them. So you're being like Jesus. You're breaking down what God has for them in a way that they can digest it. And that's what I was seeing. They're no longer in milk. They're getting into the meat. You know, when babies are babies, they're in milk. And if you give them meat, they'll choke on it. But when meat is when they're growing up, they're getting bigger. They're growing older. And so that's not easy for, you know how we cut up pieces for our children when they're growing up? Because if you don't cut it up and they take a big chunk, they could choke on that. And so you teach them how to eat the word, how to eat the word. Amen. Wow. Wow. What has the Lord been showing you, Michelle? Do share.
Whew, so much. And y'all were talking about Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And he has been pressing on my heart to go in deep prayer concerning Halloween about, because, you know, they do sacrifices and it's deeper than what we really think it is. And we got to really go in prayer concerning it because they want to sacrifice these children. You know, and about the witches and the warlocks, and I know that it's been taught that that's just a, what's the word, a fable or whatever, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said about the Italians, see, stuff like that, people just overlook it. You know, like they're like, oh, that's nothing. But God is saying in this time we are in now, we've got to pray more than ever because the devil is after the children. He's after all of us, don't get me wrong, but really
exactly.
The children, because they don't want that generation to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sensitizes them.
Yes, that's right. And he's showing me about the, and I can't never pronounce it right, but the subliminal messages that are out there.
Subliminal, yeah.
Through,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, through the internet, through TV, just through different things that's desensitizing these kids to where they really won't know the difference between good and evil. You know what I mean? And they've got to know the difference.
And look how the messages on social media can be. That you'll see, like, maybe TikTok and somebody using something, and next thing you know, that person will say, well, I need that because I want that. I want to look like that, or I want to be able to clean like that, or be able to do like that. And so those are messages being sent. And who benefits from them? The ones that receive the money from the products they sell. And so also with the movies, also with the music. And so we have to be real careful not to be brainwashed, in what they want us to believe. And that's why we need the word. We need to digest the word. Because if you're full, right, when you go to a restaurant and you have a nice steak meal and you come home, do you want to eat more? No.
No.
Exactly. So what happens when we are going hungry and we're not getting fed the word of God, we're going to be fed the things of the world. We're going to be hungry for something. And we have to be careful. We need to learn to be full of God so that we're not hungry, left hungry, and take anything. You know how it is when you're super hungry and you take the first thing you find because you have to satisfy that hunger. Or you don't want to make dinner. You just go to a fast food restaurant and you buy something quick because you want it now. But if you're constantly seeking the word of God, in God, getting full of God, you're not going to have any desires for these things. You're not going to want to desire any of that. Yeah. And so we have to show our children to be constantly in the word. And they may get bored at times. You know, our families get bored. But the more they realize it, and as times get darker, they're going to realize, wow, I had peace when I had this, when I heard Aunt Jamie or Aunt Ruth talking about this or that, and they were right. And if they constantly see us as examples, they're going to go and do that when they need it the most. People are watching. People are watching. I was talking to a girl this week, a coworker, and all she could do was just talk bad about believers, pastors. It's people that were prophets and things, you know, because she didn't understand things. She was criticizing them. All they want is money. All they want is money. And so I had to gently bring her back. The word of God shows in Malachi that you're supposed to give your tithes and your offering. And so she was looking to downplay what they were saying or what they were doing. And but it seemed like she was full of anger. And it was nothing that had to do with the people that she was criticizing. It was just the enemy working in her. And so little by little, and before you know it, she got born again. I didn't waste time.
Praise God.
I got straight to the point. And little by little, I'm working on it. So, yes, we have to make sure that we are sensitive to discern when people need God. You may think they may have God just because they pray or they have the lingo of Christianity, doesn't necessarily mean that they're born again. So
that's true.
We have to be paying attention. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have a word or a testimony that you like to say?
No, not at the time. I'm just gonna meditate on what's been said. Praise God. I'm excited.
Amen. All right. Okay. This Blog Talk is doing some strange things, and it's not letting me see everything. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I got to scroll differently. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. Let's see. I need to maybe refresh this, and it probably bring it back into place. All right, Michelle. I do apologize. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. God bless you.
Okay.
And thank you.
God bless. All right. All right, girl. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. All right.
God bless you.
Our next caller is 804-218. Your name and where you're from.
Hello. 218.
Yes.
I already told who I was. I'm Angie, and I'm from Virginia.
Long time, lady. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll come back to you.
Okay.
All right. Oh, the thing on Blog Talk. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. I think I'm going to have to leave that. Hold on one moment. Okay. I'm going to have to leave you on there. I'm just afraid that I might drop her if I touch something else. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Angie's life. Bless her, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the mouth. You're widening her mouth, Father God. You're opening her mouth, and you're opening her mouth to say a lot. And I thank you, Lord, because she's got the mouth to speak the word of God to others. I thank you, Lord, because I see you like someone that's speaking loud, like if they had a speaker in their mouth and their words are resonating and echoing out to many. And so I see your mouth almost like in the shape of one of those cone things where you use to project your voice. And so thank you, Lord, for Angie's mouth. Anoint her mouth, Father God, even more, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for using her and the things that you've taught her, the ways that you've taught her, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the gentle way that she brings about those words that you want the hearers to hear. I thank you, Father God, because you're anointing her mouth, Father God, for those that are listening to hear those anointed words in Jesus' name. I thank you for that. I thank you for her life, Father God. I thank you because the greater things are being done in her life more than ever before in Jesus' name. Danny, do you have anything for Miss Angie?
Are you I there, just have Danny? To confirm that. Yeah, I just had to confirm that I saw her with a loudspeaker myself, so that's good.
Wow.
A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And you just flow with that. They'll probably tell you you're crazy, woman, but that's okay because you know your joy just flows from you. Okay, it just you can take a very dark area and make it bright as light, just because being yourself. Okay, so I think the Lord has chosen you perfectly. You're where you need to be. You're the life of the party. In his name, and everything that comes from you is from him directly. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Miss Angie, you there?
I am. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I haven't heard you in a while.
I usually get notices. I didn't even get a notice until after I was like, I said, well, I think it's Carmen's night. So it was 9:45 by my clock, which means 8:45 by y'all's clock. So I clicked on it and you were already talking.
Yes. I'm getting on earlier. Because I can't stay later. I work really early. I have to be up by 3:00 in the morning, and I need to rest. Otherwise, I'm a mess, and I won't know what to do. I need to rest.
I hear you.
Yeah, and so yeah. I'm doing my shows earlier, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And that way, anybody that wants to get on early, they can go to bed early, too. Amen.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
What's up with you? What's going on? What are your testimonies?
Well, my little lady passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, she was 96. Saturday.
Aww.
So last Saturday. Huh?
That's a lot. 96. Wow.
96. And we watched how the, we didn't use their medicines. We used natural oils and tinctures. And she really did a lot better than those on, she got clarity of mind and was able to communicate with her family and have, understand and receive things, and we got a book about the different anointing oils biblically, and mm-hmm. The different things to put together, and we made the her daughter made the anointing oil, and after she passed we washed her down, anointed her, and before she died her daughter asked her, said, Mom, would you like for me to do anoint you? And she just sat up and said yes, and sat up to mm-hmm. say yes, which mm-hmm. was, very, you just anoint that anything that your eyes took in that was sin, and, the different body parts, and just, ask for forgiveness for those who caused the transgress or was the transgressor, transgressor. Not passer, mm-hmm. but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And sad. And then, but the oils did bring in such, and the tinctures and stuff brought in such good relief when it was needed, and they work really fast. So those that are scared to make that little adjustment, you know, I saw it firsthand. So it's don't be as scared to change to natural versus pharmaceutical if you so desire to do so. The transition is very beneficial. We were able to get, because they had her in dementia, and she was not a dementia patient. What had happened is that she became antibiotic resistant. And the antibiotics that they were giving her was making her not be able to have clarity. And once got her off, she got her clarity back.
Wow.
And she had lost it for a couple of years. So, you know.
Wow.
And I seen that first. Yeah. Yes. And she got it back. I'm telling you, there's something to this. God's getting ready. And let me tell you something. When the people went to the temple and on the main trade thing, they brought the spices, the different oils and stuff, and to the priest. And the priest knew what to do with those spices and oils. You know, whatever ailment, or, you know, when you repented of the sin that you were, you know, they knew what part of the body it affected, that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we give you the anointing oil to apply healing to that area in the repentance. He anointed me. The oil, you know, gets into your body at a micro, in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
We need to learn more about that.
You know, they said, the cedar wood that was in the temple itself, when the people came to the temple, it has healing properties in it. And it was built with the cedar wood. It's in the scriptures and the different oils and stuff. There's a book out there that says about the different oils used in the Bible and the herbs. And, you know, they're really good healers, you know. So
I'd love to learn more about that stuff. That is, especially as the days are getting stranger and stranger, we really do need to learn more about that.
Right. Well, the plants breathe what you breathe out, but you breathe in what they breathe out. I said you breathe out, and the plants breathe in what you breathe out. And when you breathe in, you're breathing in what they're breathing out. There's an exchange. You know, God created, right,
everything.
You know, the rocks will cry out. Yeah. You know, there's a lot to discover. There's a lot to discover in the, what the Creator has for the creation.
Yeah. Yeah, that God
the creation serves
an
man and man takes, right. And that, I'm just saying, it is starting to, I'm starting to get a bigger picture of the importance of reconnecting back to, you know, the earth itself, reconnecting back, because so it is in heaven, it is within the earth. God wants the connection back to the earth. So he's wanting us to connect to him so that he has a connection back to earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
That exchange.
Yeah.
In the earth, so that we can have dominion. So,
I think
I might not have said that right. I might have said it backwards.
About 2 or 3 weeks back, that there's an order with God. Oh, the lung, the heart, it takes in and it releases. You know, clean blood. It takes in the bad the toxic blood, and then it cleans it out. I mean, you know, everything about our body, there's an exchange. And God has an order for doing that. And so when we get out of that order, there's disorder, and that's where disease comes in. And so we have to get back to basics, because God, just like a car has a maker and has certain instructions on how to keep that car running perfectly, well, God has instructions on what we need to do. But it's when we get out of that order that things get really chaotic. And so it's wonderful to learn about all those things. Oils.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, what has also happened is that there is an agenda to separate man, his heart, and his, you know, God created heaven and earth, and he loved man, and he created it for man to live here. You know, this was, we weren't supposed to die. That's why death is such an enemy of God. We were designed, there's no reason for us to not have life. And it's the different things that man is doing to separate, there's an agenda to separate you from God and your heart.
Yes.
And your ability to hear and to, you know, have communion with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and some of these, when you clean your blood out and stuff, the cleansing, because he even uses hyssop as a blood cleanser.
Yes. And that's something that the Jews even use in their ceremonial festivities.
Right.
They use hyssop, they use myrtle, they use, there's different things. They all have a symbolism in all of it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Frankincense helps your brain and it's a good anti-inflammatory too, but it also passes the blood-brain barrier and heightens your sensitivity, because your pineal gland can get calcified different chemicals. The pineal gland, which is in the front part of your brain.
And it gets calcified?
Yes. From the different chemicals and stuff.
So that gland gets hard?
Yes. In fact, that's where the Alzheimer and the dementia, and it hardens, it begins to calcify, just like there's calcification going on in some people's arteries. There's calcification going in people's kidneys, mm-hmm. or they stay in different, you know, different aspects. And it's from the chemicals that they're putting chemicals in the foods and stuff, and we all know this, you know. They're even growing it with chemicals, and, you know, they're slaughtering animals at a massive rate and processing, you know, and running out the small people that actually are loving, tender, and they said it makes a difference in what type of meat you eat, because when there's the shedding of the blood, you know, if it's not done in a respectful manner, that trauma, you're eating that trauma meat. So it makes a difference what kind of chicken meat, your beef. It makes a difference, you know, humanely grown and stuff. So people are starting to go to the local farmers and getting their eggs. They're getting their, you know, starting to go back to wholesome, well bred, well tended animals that aren't being mistreated and abused. Because that trauma,
just like us,
it makes a difference.
When we are traumatized or we're under a fear of attack, we release chemicals in our body that are actually like poison, and it takes about 3 days for it to leave your body. So when animals are being killed or mistreated, they also release chemicals in their bodies for flight. Adrenaline gets released. And so you take that food and you eat it, and it's bad. It's bad for you. You're ingesting that, those things that were in them when they were being killed. And so that's
absolutely
why the rabbis, they call their food kosher because they have a certain way of handling meat and handling their food products. They don't mix them with other things. It's clean. It's separated from other things. The way they kill animals is very different. It doesn't allow the animal to feel anything before it is slaughtered. And so it does make a big difference. Even in their kitchen, they have separate kitchens for different things. That's
absolutely
how strict they are with their
right
kosher. Mm-hmm. And so we understand that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of things that we're taking in, and you know, we are not aware of the process of where that's coming from, how it's being handled, and you're taking that in, and you just need to connect to your local people. They're around. You might spend a little bit more, but if it makes you healthier and more vibrant because you're eating carefully food that is cared for, then the benefit is going to more and outweigh the cost of doing it.
Yeah, pay now or pay later.
Well, you can cut your portions down, you know what I mean, stretch things out a little bit, so... The Amish community, there's lots of places where you can go and get some of the stuff that's really, guys, you know, there's just alternative ways than the main way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our path is narrow, and we got to recognize that we can't get by with what everybody else does.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, so I mean, that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm studying.
Well, it would be nice if you could come each week whenever you can and, you know, talk about a different topic, you know, and mention one topic at a time. And that way everybody gets something each week on that, the things that you've learned. And not that we are doctors or anything, we don't, but it's just to be informative. To teach you stuff that you need to learn and seek for yourself. So we don't claim to be doctors here, but we serve a God that is Dr. Jesus, the great physician.
Right.
And so that'd be nice for you to talk about different things, you know, that are natural. I'm glad that you were able to get your friend
that time. Well, you know, Jesus' feet were anointed. Jesus' feet were anointed. One, you know, and the wise men brought spices and herbs for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was for his, you know, for the beneficial of health.
Yes.
So, and to keep the blood clean. Huh?
There's some. I hope the show continues because sometimes it knocks it off. But there's something that Block Talk did. It gave me 2 hours instead of the three. But, it looks like we're still going. We're still going. All right, good. You hear me, right?
Yes, ma'am. I sure did.
Okay, all right.
I did.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to say? Because I have some other callers I want to get. And I'm
no,
sure
I was just saying that, you know, if you – you know, anybody that's interested, they have books and stuff, and I personally have witnessed the benefits and personally experienced the benefits of using some oils and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm just saying that there's
wisdom.
Other ways to get
all
your
right
health back. And So,
well,
especially when you get knocked off your feet
week.
A little bit. Okay.
Yeah, bring us a topic next week of things that are simple for people, you know, like for every day. And then you talk about
mm-hmm.
that topic. Yeah, I'd like to
okay.
learn more about that. That seems very interesting. All right, Miss
so,
Angie, it's always a pleasure to hear you. Nice to hear you.
Thank
again.
You for praying for me.
You're welcome. God bless you. All right.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's always a pleasure talking to her. She's a wealth of wisdom. All right. Our next caller is 828-989. Your name and where you're from. Oh, my goodness. This Block Talk is doing such crazy things. Oh, there we go. Now it's moving. 828-989. Your name and where you're from.
It's Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hi, Jennifer. All right, let me put
Hi.
You on mute. All right. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jennifer. Thank you, Father God, for her life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, because I see, like, you are purposely opening up your eyes. It's almost like you're saying, Lord, my eyes are open. You've opened my eyes, and you're seeing things like you have not seen them before. And it's almost like it's not only God opening your eyes, but you are allowing God to open your eyes. You're allowing God, you're holding your eyes open to see the things that you didn't know before, that you didn't maybe not want to see before. But you're seeing them now, and you're willfully opening, allowing God to open your eyes about certain things. And I see the expression on your that it is like, wow, almost like I should have allowed this sooner. And so it's taking you in a different path, a different journey, and you're wowed by what you see. And it's almost like, you know how when you put your fingers in your eyes and you open them up and you try to keep them open to see, it's almost like you're allowing God, you're purposely allowing God to show you. And it's really a wow moment for you. So thank you, Father God, for wowing, if that's a word, Jennifer. Thank you, Father God, for opening her eyes to certain things that maybe she wasn't willing to look at and to see, but she's allowing you now. And because of it, it's so awesome to her, and it's like a wow moment. It's like, wow, I should have allowed this soon. I should have looked into this sooner. And it's changing you. It's transforming you. You're not the same. And so thank you, Father God, for wowing Jennifer, for opening her eyes. And we thank you for that, for what you're going to do with that and how she's going to share that with others. And we thank you for that, Lord. It's almost like you're moving out of the old things into something new. It's like you can't stay where you were. So we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, bless her. And continue to do that work in her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Are you there,
Amen.
Jennifer?
I am. Wow.
Hey, how are
wow.
you?
Much better than the last time I talked to you. The last
really?
Time I broke down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
Don't tell.
Yeah, I'm better just. Surrendered and it was a pretty on spot word. He's definitely moving me in a new direction. I can't. He's just changing some things in my life and
thank you, Jesus.
Turning me around, I guess, turning me back around again and
really?
Just drawing me close into intimacy. That first love, intimacy, I kind of got distracted So I'm enjoying that again. And as he, of course, with wisdom into me and just letting go, and letting him, you know, just letting him be God and trusting in him. It's been a long journey, and, you know, my confidence is in him. And so there's no need to fear or be scared or, I mean, when he's working all things out, we can be confident that no matter what we're going through, it's all for good. So I'm very grateful.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm very, very happy to hear that. Oh, wow. Do you have a testimony or prayer that you need us to pray about? Denny, do you have anything for Jennifer?
Yes, thank you. He took me to Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So, yeah, as you're seeing what you're seeing, yes, he's got you by the hand and taking you where, and you're seeing things differently. Even your surroundings, they're the same ones from yesterday, but they look different. They look better, greener, brighter, shinier, colorful. It's because it's him taking you, and you're looking at it the way he looks at it. Amen.
Amen. Yes, that's actually he gave me that same psalm. I think it was the beginning of the week. So that was confirmation. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. My confirmation too. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you definitely heard him right. You definitely did. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm happy
for you.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm expectant. I'm hopeful. You know, my heart is still, you know, he's still got some healing to do in my heart. But, you know, pain produces what he wants to, you know. So there's always a purpose in the pain. So.
Yeah, he turns our ashes into beauty. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes.
Yes, he does.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And stay on track and you'll see more. And I believe, you know, sometimes God sets us free so that we can help others
Set
free too. You know, like he did with Moses. He was delivered, so he can be a deliverer.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Is there a particular prayer that you want or any testimony you want to share with us tonight?
I know I have many testimonies coming. My prayer is just, you know, I just want wisdom and discernment. You know, the enemy has sometimes gets me to doubt that I'm actually hearing from him, so that I would know that I would know that I would know that it's him and right.
Okay. All right, definitely, and that we all could use that, huh? And so I'm not only praying that for you, but for all the listeners, Lord, including myself, Lord, we just ask you, Father God, that you continue tonight, that you would help us continue to hear your voice and to know that we're hearing correctly, that the voice of the enemy we do not hear, but the voice of God, that we are hearing it loud and clear. Help us to have that discernment. Help us to hear clearly. And help us, Father God, to move towards you more and more each day. And whenever we are a little off, Lord, we just pray that you get us back in place, Father God. Don't let us leave us to ourselves, but help us, Father God, to stay in line
so that we can stay in you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for that. We thank you, Father God, for that journey, for staying on the path, because you are our light. You are our the path that we walk on. You are our light. And we thank you because you don't leave us alone. You never forsake us. Thank you for being there, Father. Thank you for being there, for letting your Holy Spirit guide us in all the things we go to do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Danny, amen. Thank you.
I guess he's away. All right, girl. Well, God bless you. I'm loving it. And sound like McDonald's, don't I?
God bless you.
Have a wonderful week.
You as well.
All right.
You as well.
God bless you. God bless. All right.
God bless you.
All right, next caller, 910-709, your name and where you're from. Almost got carried away there.
Kalala.
Hello?
Hello, this is Sylvia calling from North Carolina.
Ah, Miss Sylvia. All right.
Hi, how are you?
I'm going to make you unmuted. Good in you. Allow me one moment and I'll pray for you. Father God, we just thank you for Miss Sylvia. We thank you, Father God, for what you're moving in her life, Father God. I see you like there's a kind of like a box carriage, like you're putting things in it and you're moving it. You're moving it. You're moving these things. I'm not sure what it is, and they seem like books. They look like books. So whatever it is, it's informative. It's knowledge. It's things that are educating you. But I also see you sharing of those books in that in the cart. It's almost like you're sharing. You're sharing. You're sharing. And you're sharing. I see that cart and the books in there, and you're grabbing them and sharing. You're sharing. You're sharing. And so thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Miss Sylvia's life and what she's sharing, what she's sharing. I thank you for that, for sharing. You're sharing your words, sharing your truth, sharing, sharing, sharing. Thank you, Father God, for it's almost like how do I put it? It's almost like I see that box. It's like almost like a wooden box, and then you're putting you put the books in there, and you're sharing them. It seems humble, like a humble way of sharing things, a humble way of presenting things. But you're sharing, and we thank you, Father God, for what she's sharing, and I'm sure that if she's sharing you, give her strategies in sharing where people not only take, but they really get into it and they read it because of the way she's presented things. So we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Miss Sylvia's life. Thank you, Father God, for that sharing, for that giving of herself to others, giving up the word to others. In Jesus' name. Danny, do you have anything for Miss Sylvia?
Yeah, I similar to what you think. I see her at like a lecture stand or a speaker's stand. You know, when you get to that speaker's booth, or I can't think of the words right now, but either she gave
a
speech. Podium, yes. Yeah, she gave a speech to a group. And the Lord just saying that, you know, he was present when you were speaking or you're going to speak. I hope that means
Ooh.
Something to you. I don't know where that is.
Oh, wow. Mm. So he's preparing you for something.
Yes. Yes, he told me that I'm almost speechless. I'm supposed to preach. He told me that's the reason why he was sending me to divinity school. because he wants me to start teaching. And he said, you know, I've been feeling that about speaking. And I'm thinking it's a long way down the road. Well, I was hoping it was a long way down the road. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
So there you go.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
prepare
yourself to be ready. Apparently, he's already giving you stuff. So be ready, prepared to share. Prepare
to share.
Oh, wow.
He says, yeah, he says that I was going to be preaching on how to suffer for Christ.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, just know that when that day comes, you know, do not fear, because he will be speaking through you. You may not remember all the words, but you'll have everybody listening closely to your words. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh God, Jesus.
Thank you, God. It'll be
Amen.
Amen. Just be ready, Mr.
Amen. I know. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wow. Well, I did tell him whatever you want me to do, so I'll do it.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Good. Okay. Well, thank you for praying for me. Both of you, thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to say? I want to make sure that
that's it.
All right. God bless you, Miss Sylvia.
God bless you. You too.
All right. Bye. Bye. All right. That was Miss Sylvia. Let's see. Give me 1 minute here. It's kind of a little difficult to maneuver this because it doesn't move when you want it to move. All right. 908-305, your name and where you're from.
This is Carol. Caroline, how are you, Carmen?
Hey, Caroline. All right. Give me a minute and let me pray for you.
Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you for Caroline, Father God. We just ask you, Father God, to bless her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Caroline, Father God. Thank you for the joys that are coming her way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the opportunities coming her way, Father God. I thank you, Lord, because she's ready in season and out of season. Thank you, Jesus. And I see you rejoicing and worshiping and just like, you know, happy, just singing because you are feeling joyful. You're seeing God's hand and his light on your life. And it's almost like you were thinking, oh, Lord, I thought you had forgotten me. But God hasn't forgotten you. He's just working behind the scenes. He has not forgotten you, Caroline. He's working behind the scenes. And so they're going to be trickling in, and before you know it, there's going to be greater and better things and bigger things coming your way. But be careful and don't shut the blessings. We'll be careful with what you say is what I'm hearing. Be careful what you say and continue to praise him because that releases the hand of God. Continue praising him, and especially when you're not feeling like praising him, especially when you don't feel like worshiping him, that's when you need to do it the most because that breaks the enemy's back. That breaks what the enemy's trying to put on you. So whenever you feel, this is what I'm sensing the Lord is trying to tell you, whenever you feel that heaviness coming over you and that you don't want to do it, you don't want to do anything, you just don't want to do anything, that's when you have to do it. And then you're gonna feel release of different things. And God's going to be setting you free of the end. It's almost there, but he's waiting on you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Caroline, Father God, because she's obedient, and in her obedience, there's deliverance. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hello. How are you? Danny, do you have anything for Caroline?
He's just reminding me that her name actually means song of happiness. So he loves to hear when you sing to him. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you there, Caroline?
Oh, yes, I am. Hello. Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Sister Carmen, I don't know who the other person is, but God bless you, whoever you are. What's your name?
That's Daniel.
I'm Daniel.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Hi. Yeah, anyways, thank you. God has just given me opportunities, and, of course, I do sing anyway, so that was a wonderful thing, sing for Jesus. And I have to say I've been praying for a job, and I have to go to the right opportunity. I've been offered a job. However, I don't think it's really where God wants me because I'm very, very not, which I have a piece about it, so...
Mm-hmm.
And God's been opening up doors for other opportunities, which are wonderful. But I was really excited about getting a job. But and then when I spoke to them further, they were going to have me work from 10 to 8 and commuting time. And I wouldn't really have time to go do anything. And they were going to have me work on the weekends. And I would not have time to do anything else but just commute back and forth to work. And my whole life would be... I did that in a previous job, and the Lord said, if I get you a job, I don't want you to just spend all your time working. You're not going to have any time for me. So it would be a job that they keep changing hours and want me to work late and get up, and it would be like maybe 2 hours of commuting time, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours of commuting time per week, and I just won't be able to do the things of the Lord, and I don't feel comfortable with it, and the job I have that they wanted to offer to me probably on Monday, they were going to give me a package. I don't feel at peace about it because it would be, I told you, my counselor, Christian counselor, and I just cannot counsel people. And it's not a Christian place. I was praying about a Christian. I counsel people on things I don't believe in like that. And I live in New Jersey, so they want me to... Mm-hmm. Counsel people on LGB, all that stuff, which I don't believe in at all. And they said you have to, you know, kind of counsel people in that way of living. And I don't believe it. And I just feel totally not comfortable at all. I don't want to be put in that position. Because then if I don't agree with some of the values of, quote unquote, our society, you're like, you have to agree with it. You have to be open, quote unquote. I'm just not. So I don't feel comfortable. I need to find a place where it's a little bit more Christian based or something that I'm not going against what I believe. So I prayed about it and I'm disappointed, but God must have another opportunity.
Be led by the Spirit of God, whatever the Lord tells you.
Right. Even though I really do need a job. coming in, and so far God's providing for me, but I'm getting help from some people, but I have to go by what God says, right? If I don't have a peace about it, I can't. At first I thought it was a good opportunity, but as I investigated further, I can't feel guilty about I don't want to feel guilty about turning down an opportunity which I really want. So I wonder why these things happen. I wonder why these opportunities come. You think that's from Satan? I mean, or
Can you ask for maybe part-time and then with the weekends off? Sometimes we need to ask questions because sometimes, like Danny always tells me, always ask. All you can get is a no. But what if they say yes? So always ask.
I guess at this point I really don't want to work. I just think it's the hours. Like they told me I was going to work from 9 to 5, and then when I came for the interview part, they're like, oh, you'll be working for a short while from 9 to 5, but you're absolutely going to have to work 9 to 8 or 10 to 7. And then they said, definitely going to be working on the weekends. Like I said, can you tell me how many weekends there are? And they said, no, we don't know. But it looks like when people say stuff that way, they said you probably will be working on Saturdays, but they weren't clear on when. And I just really truthfully don't want to play. There's other jobs I think I can get better hours and closer. And also, I don't know, I don't really have a peace about it. I just don't. I can't
okay.
say that I do.
So we'll pray about that. Yeah, we'll pray about that. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you see the desires of Caroline's heart. You know exactly what she needs. She wants her weekends off so she can spend it worshiping you. Father God, we ask you for that. We ask you, Father God, that you would allow that we send your angels to work that for her and draw her close to that job. Help her to have the right connections at the right time and just help her to be in the right place at the right time to find that job. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for that ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Any other prayer requests? Do you have a word or testimony you want to give?
I just feel like God, at this particular word, testimonies, I've been praying about a job for a while, and God is opening doors. I'm just getting a lot of opportunities to do Christian counseling. To do counseling, just so many places that it's really in such demand right now. And I just want to have a place where I can work there. The people are nice. I can talk about Jesus if I want to from 9 to 5 and have my weekends and the weekdays to do Bible studies. You know, I just don't want to have my whole life revolve around a job. That's not, I don't think that's what God wants. Just everything revolves around the job, commuting to work. You don't have time to do stuff. So my praise report is that I am getting a lot of job opportunities, which is a blessing. That's a real blessing because it wasn't happening before, and now I ask God to help me bring people into my life to help me with as to why I wasn't getting those job opportunities. And God has helped me with people that helped me out with my computer skills and resumes. Mm-hmm. It's just like God opened up all the doors. Before then, it seemed like it was just a time where God, I was spending a lot of time with the Lord, and it was great, but he's like, now's your time to move forward. So, and then with the music, I've got other opportunities that people have come along and are giving me voice lessons, singing. I don't know, it's just weird. Not weird, God is opening doors for sure, and somebody that wants to help me with the book and the music. So I've been praying about it, but God is sending people.
Good.
So that's a praise report.
Amen. That's good. Well, praise God. We lifted that up in prayer, so we should hear from the Lord, knowing that you need a job soon. And so just be on the lookout. Think it not strange
Amen.
When you get connected with people. That might be a connection to something else. Thank you.
You never
Jesus.
Know, right?
Thank you for that.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, thank you so very much. God bless you both.
Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. What you do.
You.
Appreciate it. You too. Thank
okay.
you. God bless.
All right. Next caller is 203-253. All right. This thing is taking a little bit longer. Give me one moment. Okay. Who am I speaking with and where are you from?
You're speaking with Carla from Texas.
Oh, Miss Carla. Another Texas girl. Okay. I won't mute you because this thing is just doing some strange things, and I don't want your call to drop. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Carla's life. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Carla, God has good things for you. But there are some things that you have to understand about who you are. Because while you are believing that you're one thing, you're thinking that this is what you can have. But God sees you in a different way and in a different light. And he has bigger and better things for you, Carla. He loves you so much. He has so many good things for you. But you have to line up with what he says about you. Okay, Carla? He's waiting for you because he wants to give you some awesome things. He thinks the world of you. He loves you so much, Carla. And, you know, have you ever seen a couple where the wife doesn't believe that she is loved by the husband and she's in that marriage and she just doesn't feel love because she doesn't see it. And the husband is doing everything he can to love on her. And then one day he just says, okay, I'm going to let him love me the way he says he's going to love me. And so he allows him, right? Because but she's not believing in it, but she allows him. Then the husband will come over and start loving on her. And then those walls start coming down that she had about herself, about what she was seeing. And next thing you know, she starts feeling that love. Well, that's what God wants you to realize. There's so much to this, so much to your relationship with him that you're kind of like you are putting a wall, but you're putting a wall for the wrong thing, okay? The wall is there to protect you from the enemy, not from God. And so God is saying, you know, bring your walls down for me and let me love you. He's going to love you and he's going to show you some great and awesome things. And you think that you are letting God love you, but you have not seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet. He's going to surprise you with his love. So allow him, bring the walls down, and allow him to love you. Allow him to surprise you.
Amen.
Allow him to surprise you, Carla. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Danny, you have something for Carla?
Yeah, Carla, he's showing me a yellow rose. I don't know. I mean, that means something to you. Friendship and happiness around the yellow rose. Yellow Rose of Texas came to my mind. I don't know the lyrics to that song, whatever, but whatever reason, if it means something to you, he's shown me a yellow rose. Amen.
Let's see what a yellow rose. Let's look it up. Yellow rose. Let me see. Let's see. Yellow roses are universally known as a symbols of friendship. Most people give them to each other for their birthdays or to celebrate the love between two good friends. Roses symbolize everything from I love you to I care for our friendship, and colors vary from romantic red to energetic orange. So, wow, yellow. It's happiness is to, wow, friendship. So, Lord, we just thank you for this friendship, this love that's between you and Carla. We ask you, Father God, that it blossoms like never before. And, Father God, we just pray that... thank you, Lord, that you bring true friends in Carla's life. Bring true friendships in Carla's life,
yes,
Father God. Friends that will love her the way
yes.
she needs to be loved, Father God. give her that, those friendships, Father God, the friendships in the love of God. And we thank you for that, Father God. This is what our sister needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Carla, how are you?
I'm doing well.
What's going on? Have any testimonies?
The testimony I have probably in July when you had prayed for me because I was looking for a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a place that I was trying to buy a home. And then I also have an application and an apartment. And you chose the apartment. You know, you said, God, I thank you for Carla, you know, giving this apartment. And that is exactly what I got. But it's more like a townhouse, but I just found that out. And that's what I want. And you said, well,
God
you
always does
you
it better.
You, huh?
God always
Hello?
Does it better.
Yes.
Yes.
And you said you will call me back, but I've been around to calling you back tonight, and that's been ever since July. And I spoke to you about, he had told me about leaving, you know, to start finding another job, which I have not did that yet. But he did open the door for me to get a place that I can afford to pay for that wouldn't be so strenuous. So you pray for me that week and the next week. This lady, she had been, I know the lady, but she was trying, I don't know why she was trying to give me a hard time not to move into the place. But after you prayed for me, you know, the door was open for me to move.
Thank you, Jesus. So you already moved. All you need is the job now.
Well, I have a job, but God told me it was time for me to look for another job. I don't know, because I work 24 hours at this place. I do private city, and but nothing else. I can't seem to get any help here. No one wants to help me work. So here, so I've been working 24 hours ever since February. And and so
you need more hours?
I just don't want to be,
okay.
So I don't want to be out of here. Will, if he told me, he spoke this to me in July, because it's clear a day. He said, it's time for you to start looking for your another job.
Okay. Well, let's lift it up in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, the desires of Carla's heart is for a new job. She's sensing a new job, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for that new job or even a new position if it's in the same place. Lord, that it'll be something that is just right for her, Father God, where she's happy and that she's able to spend time with you and be able to witness to other people, Father God. We just ask you, Father God, that you open the door for that. If it's another position in the same place, that she will be recognized for that and that the job will come to her. And if not, Lord, well, we ask you to help her to be at the right place at the right time, that she will connect with the right people to know where to go, that she'll either look it up online or some way, somehow, that job will get to her, either through the television or a radio or by a conversation. Lord, we just pray that you bring it to her in Jesus' name, that she will know, that she will know that it is you leading her in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the blessings, Father God, that you've already given her. Thank you, Father God, for the new home, Father God, that she's living in, and for the protection in that new home, that just as we ask, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father God, for you are good to us. You bless us. You keep us. You protect us. thank you for all your goodness, Father God. We praise you. We worship you. And Lord, give Carla an opportunity to tell others of your goodness, Father God, that if you did it for her, you will do it for them. And Father God, we just thank you for that testimony right now. In Jesus' name. Daddy, do you have anything for Carla?
I was just curious, in your town home, did you put any yellow roses around there?
Any roses?
Yeah, just the yellow rose thing just sticks on my mind. I was just curious what he meant with it. If there was any around there, wherever you ended up living.
No. It could be some there now because I moved in July, but I stayed on my job for 24 hours. They're still building on the place. As they build one, you move into it. So they have not did the yard yet, nothing like that.
Wow.
Landscaping. They have not did the landscaping. Yes, it's really nice. It's brand new. It's really nice.
Wow, he gave it to you brand new, sister.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
I haven't asked because I thought I want something new. I don't want anything knowing it. You know, I always have moved in things. Someone else has moved in. I said, Lord, I want something brand new. And they're still building on them.
Did you anoint your place and prayed over it?
Only thing I've got a chance to do is just move in. I just moved in one day and I came back to work. So I've been at work. I have not even unpacked or anything like that.
Okay. Well, maybe you have new friends on the way too. So we thank you, Father God, for that. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you slow things down for her, enough for her to catch up with her home and make her home a home. And that she can enjoy it. And thank you, Father God, for the new things, the new place. Thank you for the new things. Help her to let her enjoy it. Let things wind down long enough for her to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you have a wonderful week, sister, and praise the Lord for that.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to look for that yellow rose.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to anoint my place also. Could you all pray for me one more thing, please?
Sure.
Okay, I'm planning on to go and visit my family. I have not visited my family, I think, in 15 years because, you know, the way I've been working, you know, trying to, just only me, you know, so I have to just work. But I don't know, is that an excuse? I just didn't take time out to go. But I feel like Lord is telling me that it's time. My mother is 86, and she keeps saying she's not feeling well. And I just have been, but I really feel led to go to visit him. But I want to go in Christ. I want to be able that I can witness to them and that they will accept me back because quite a few of them is upset with me because my dad passed away. I didn't go to his funeral. I had a sister pass away, and I didn't go because I don't know, was I just too busy or did I really was feeling God telling me not to go? So now I'm beginning to feel that it's time to go, but quite a few of my relatives are not happy with me right now.
Well, Father God, we just lift up our sister, Father God. You see the situations. You know that she has to work, that people have passed away. And, Lord, she wants to be able to see her mother. Lord, we pray that you make a way. Make a way for her to have time to be able to go visit her mother and that as she goes and visits her mother, that whatever feelings and things that were felt against her, Father God, that they vanish once they see her and that they spend time together, that, Father God, that you send your angels to prepare the way for her. I pray that you prepare the way for her as she goes to visit family and that things will be not the way she expects it, but better. And that there be love. We bind the enemy from operating in any way for that visit, Father God. No animosity in Jesus' name, but unity and love, and that all these other things will vanish away in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
God bless you.
And God bless you guys.
Okay. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Let us know, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. This thing
thank
is
you, Lord. I'll keep
time.
You in my prayer.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you. All right. We have another caller, 321-230. Your name and where you're from, 321-230. Oh. Okay. They don't have their hands raised up. So if you want ministry, please raise your hand. All right. They're not raising their hand. So we are going to play a song. Give me one moment here. This thing is just crazy over here. All right. All right. I'm going to play the song, The Healing, bringing healing, and he's restoring those things in the lives of a family in, on PGN, and we thank God for that. In Jesus' name. Let's see. All right. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful week, and we praise God for you. Come back next week and continue ministering to other people and letting them know about Jesus, the love of Jesus. Go and tell them that Jesus loves them. Amen.
I believe in you, maker of stars, the sun and moon, heaven and earth, designed by you. Weary heart, broken and bruised, every part you made brand new.